because we talk about and say man or woman based upon the different people in the book of Proverbs it's talking about, the principles are the same for everyone for the most part. And so, tonight we're going to look at the young and the old man, the young and the old man. So if you find your place, stand with me, please. Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll read the first four verses of Proverbs chapter 1. The Bible says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Again, we want to say we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, God, in our midst. And we ask, God, that you'd help us tonight and meet with us, Lord. I pray, God, as we open your word, that you would enlighten us with the truth. Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, the entrance of your word bringeth forth light. And Lord, so I pray that you'd help us tonight. We thank you for it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, Proverbs a lot of times is a book of contrast, and you see about usually both ends of the spectrum. Again, we did that last week when we talked about the simple man and the prudent man. And so tonight we're going to look at two different people mentioned in this book. Again, we're going to contrast, and simply this, the young and the old, the young and the old. Now, what I love about, one of the things I love about White River Baptist Church, I love everything about this place. But one of the things I really like about it is that God has allowed us to have a great cross-section of all age groups. By the way, that's the sign of a healthy church, amen, and is that you thank goodness for the kiddos, amen, and I love the children around here. And listen, folks, I would rather deal with from time to time, you know, a crying baby or a little bit of a disturbance with a young person. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't teach them and train them, right? We should, but that being said, I'd rather deal with that than never hear that at all in a church. Man, I'm thankful for that. And I say it over and over, and I know I'm talking to the Thursday night crowd. I should be saying this to the Sunday morning crowd, and I do. But to listen, the best thing you can do is get your kids in church. Amen. And get them here from a young age. Let them hear the Sunday school stories. Let them sing those songs and just be exposed to the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And so I'm thankful for the kids, the young people, the teenagers. What a blessing to have a good group of teenagers around here. Amen. And then, of course, our middle-aged adults. And then our senior saints. And listen, folks, God has blessed us with a great cross-section of every age group in a church. And tonight, I want to look at, and when I say young, I'm not just talking about kids. I'm not even just talking about teenagers. I would just be, probably we could run that up into young adult, or adults that are young. And then old, I'm going to let you define what you think that is. Amen? And, well, the Bible actually does have a way to define it. We'll look at that here in just a little bit. So let's just take a look at this tonight. I just want to give you a few principles as we look at the at some verses about the young and the old. So first of all, let's start with the young. Start with the young. And here's the first principle we see out of verse 4. Notice what it says again, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And here's the first principle. The young man or the young person needs knowledge and discretion. Needs knowledge and discretion. It's only four verses into the book of Proverbs, and you see the first command, if you will, to the young man, or the first thing directed to the young man. And that is this, and truth be told, not just the book of Proverbs, but all of the Word of God, will help give the young person knowledge and discretion. Now, the word knowledge simply means a knowing, and it goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. Get your young people in church so they can know about God. They can learn about God. They can be exposed to the teachings of the Word of God. Amen? Knowledge. But not just knowledge, discretion. That's an interesting word if you look it up. It literally means a plan of good or evil. And so what you could deduct from that meaning is this, knowing between good and evil. Knowing between good and evil. By the way, folks, what defines good and evil? Does society's opinion define what is good and evil? Does a preacher's opinion define what is good or evil? Oh, no. I think you know what defines good and evil. You got it, brother. Holding up the Bible right there. Amen. God is what determines what is right and what is wrong. And listen, the only way to have discretion is to be able to know what the Bible has to say about things. Amen. And so the young people need to be taught that. Now, I found an amazing illustration about this. So take your Bibles real quick. Go to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings 22. Right now, my Bible reading, I'm in the book of 2 Chronicles. And I just read a phenomenal story today about King Asa and his son Jehoshaphat. And man, that's a phenomenal read. And you'll eventually get there if you're reading systematically through your Bible. But 2 Kings chapter 22 is another phenomenal story about a young man named Josiah. Josiah. 2 Kings chapter 22. I, for sake of time, I really, to do this whole story justice, ought to read a couple chapters. I'm not going to do that. But I just want to notice a couple things from this. Look at beginning in verse 1. Josiah, notice this, it's not a typo here, amen, was 8 years old when he began to reign. Okay, who's 8 in here? We got any 8-year-olds in the service tonight? Okay, who's close to 8? Who's 9? All right. Joey, how old are you? Not, could you imagine this kid being king? Okay. Okay, could you, yeah, right? He might think he's king at his house, right? But no, could you imagine someone that age being the king? Now again, why was that? Well, of course, back then, it wasn't necessarily, they weren't elected, they weren't appointed or elected, they were basically, it followed the bloodline, okay? And so, but Josiah was 8 when he began to reign, and here's what the Bible says, he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adadiah of Boscath. Notice what it says about Josiah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand, nor to the left. Now, what's interesting about Josiah, the reason he's reigning is because his father is no longer part of his on the scene. He's dead. So how did Josiah know this stuff? Where did he learn it at? Well, look what it says there in verse 3. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, so when he was 18 years old, that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the doors have gathered of the people. And so what you see here as you read down through here is that Josiah had a close relationship with the men of God in his life. Okay, with the priest, with the scribes. Those that, when he finally started coming to age and figuring some things out, here's the first thing he wanted to know. He's like, let's go down to the house of the Lord and figure out what's going on here. By the way, the house of the Lord was in disarray. It was in disrepair. We read about that. And when they were cleaning up the house of God, they found the book of the law. And they brought it to the king. And here's what it says in verse 11. When it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. Why would he do that? Because he realized what bad shape the nation was in. He realized, man, we've been living in disobedience. And Josiah, the best he could, began a revival that sparked through the nation there. But you know what? Because of the previous things that were happening, particularly Josiah's grandfather Manasseh, and what Manasseh did in shedding of all the innocent blood, God was not going to stop judgment. But I will say this, Josiah postponed judgment. Look what it says in verse 19, because this is the word of God coming through the man of God back to the king. Because thine heart was tender. Think about that. At a young age, Josiah had a tender heart, and thou hast humbled thyself. Here was a young man with humility before the Lord. And when thou heardest which I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I have also heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I shall bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And if you read about Josiah from that point on, it's mass revival. He cleans house. He breaks down all of the altars. He drives out the sodomites. I mean, listen, he goes mass revival in the land. And this is all led by a young man. And so that being said, young people need to be taught knowledge and discretion. Now, by the way, young people, listen to me. Don't fall for this. You know, and sometimes as adults, we got to be careful. We almost think because young people are young that we underestimate them. And we think that, well, they're just young people or they're just teenagers. Listen to me. Hey, I've been around teenagers before that had more of a zeal in their life than the adults did. Now, I'm not saying that's always the case. And by the way, it really shouldn't be the case because young people need good examples to learn from. Amen. But just because someone's young doesn't mean they can't be what God wants for them to be. And what potential young people have. Potential. We're going to see that again in just a minute. So number one, young people need knowledge and discretion. Number two, the young man needs to deepen his understanding. Look, go to Proverbs chapter 7. We've been there quite a bit. There in Proverbs chapter 7, and because we've looked at this this young man who fell for the strange woman in Proverbs chapter 7. I just want you to look at one verse. Look what it says, Proverbs 7:7. And behold, among the simple ones, we talked about that last week, I discerned among the youths a young man, look at this phrase, void of understanding. Okay, the word void means empty. It's not there. And so here was a young man, literally, who had no idea what was about to happen to him. He had no spiritual discernment whatsoever. Let me just say this. Young people, you need to deepen your understanding. Deepen your spiritual discernment. And again, where should that come from? It should come from the example set before them. Amen. And from the teachings of the godly people in their life. Listen, God wants His people, particularly His young people, He wants them to understand. Okay. And listen, folks, I understand that there are some aspects about God we'll never comprehend. But listen, we can understand about Him. He's given us a whole book to learn about Him. And I know the Bible doesn't tell us everything about God, but it tells us enough how that we can know Him, have a relationship with Him, and live a life that pleases Him. The Bible tells us what we need to know. We just need to understand it. Amen? Notice what it says. You don't have to turn here. Let me just read some verses to you. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be of an understanding heart. You know what God is commanding here? Look, I want you to understand. You need to understand. Proverbs 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. And listen, young people can have spiritual discernment. And they should have spiritual discernment. Amen. Listen, you don't wait till you become an adult, all of a sudden flip a switch and you're spiritual. That's not how it works. In fact, truth be told, let me tell you how the process works. If children aren't trained to be spiritual, then they turn into teenagers who aren't spiritual, and teenagers always that aren't spiritual always turn into adults who aren't spiritual. Now, I'm going to tell you that God can break that cycle, and people can get right with the Lord at different times in your life. I'll just tell you this. The longer you go, the harder it gets. Because let me tell you something. Your heart gets harder and harder and harder, not softer and softer and softer, unless you on purpose keep it tender before the Lord. At a young age is when your heart is the most tender. Amen. But a great example of that is in 1 Samuel 17. And again, I'm not going to have you turn there. I'm running out of time tonight. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is a story of David and Goliath. And of course, David, you know the story. His father sends him to the battlefield to take his brother some provisions. He gets there and he sees what's happening. He sees Goliath coming out and he sees God's army, who's supposed to be the ones on top, not the ones on bottom, ought to be the ones being the victors, not the ones being the victims. He sees God's army. Things are flip-flopped. And here's what David said. And he spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Here's a young man, and they tell us anywhere between 15 and 17 years of age, that had more spiritual understanding than his eldest brother and the whole army of Israel. He knew what was going on. He saw what was going on. And you know what he said? He's like, what in the world? Why are you allowing this uncircumcised Philistine to curse the armies of the living God? He didn't say it because of pride. No, you knew who had pride? Eliab had pride. Not David. Oh, no. David was doing what he should have been doing and looking around. Hey, who's standing up for God around here? By the way, you know what? He had understanding as a young man. Is it no wonder God chose him to kill the giant? Is it no wonder God chose him to be the future leader of the king of Israel? Probably the greatest king Israel ever had. Amen? You know why? Because he had understanding. And listen, young people, I want to encourage you. Hey, you need to have understanding. Parents, by the way, listen, don't say to your kids if they ask you a question, oh, don't worry about it. You don't need to know what that's about. Now listen, as they get older, explain things to them. Tell them what's going on. Okay? Now I understand you got to be appropriate how you handle certain things. As parents, you got to have wisdom. But no, don't blow them off if they're inquisitive, especially when it comes to spiritual things. Explain. Amen? Because God wants young people to deepen their understanding. And then number three, we see this. We see that the glory of young men is their strength. Look what it says in Proverbs 20:29. Proverbs 20:29. It makes that exact statement. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. Amen. I told you the Bible would define that, all right? But the glory of young men is their strength. Let me tell you something interesting you'll find as you start going through the Bible. Next time you're reading, just keep a lookout for this. But you know, there was, as you read through the Bible, that you find tasks that were assigned to young people, to young men, particularly tasks that involve physical labor. Okay, here's just a few of them. Genesis 22, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clayed the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. And if you keep reading, you know what you find those young men did? They stood guard over Abraham's donkeys and stuff while him and Isaac went to the mountain. And no doubt they helped care for the physical burdens that Abraham had to bear on this journey that he took. By the way, you keep reading, and it talks about that when Abraham went to rescue Lot and Lot's family, he armed, it says, his trained servants that were in his house. Abraham had his own militia, okay? Train these young men to be warriors for him. Listen, why is that? Because the height of your strength is when you're young. That's why. Okay, it's what the Bible says. The glory of young men is their strength. Joshua chapter 6, verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brother and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Again, these were the spies. Dangerous mission that Joshua sent into the land. Who did he send in? The young men. Ruth chapter 2, verse 21, talking about Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite has said, he said unto me also, Boaz, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. So you know what you see here all throughout the scripture is that God gives young men strength, young people strength, okay, men and ladies. And God wants you to use that strength for him. Amen. By the way, don't waste your youth on the devil and the world. Don't waste it. Give it to God. By the way, listen, there's only a certain amount of life that you have in the peak of your strength. Okay? And that's in your youth. Now, by the way, it's interesting how God made this thing called life work out. Okay? Because you really don't start getting a little bit more smarter and more mature until you get older. By then, your strength is going the other direction, right? Maybe God wants it to be a partnership. Maybe God wants to use the strength of the young people in tandem with the wisdom of the older folk to accomplish things for him. By the way, you know what that takes? On both ends, it takes humility, right? It takes humility for young people to say, you know what? I'm going to shut my mouth and listen to people that are older than me. I'm going to be taught by people that are older than me. And it also takes humility on the other end for older people to realize, you know what? I shouldn't be doing these certain things, but I ought to take my wisdom and impart it to the younger generation. Wisdom, humility on both sides of the spectrum there. Amen. And so young people, God gives you strength. And listen, you ought to use your strength for the glory of God. Amen? Use your strength for the glory of God. Here's a verse for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Let me just tell you for the most part, okay? Those of you that are older will testify to this, all right? As you get older, life gets harder. Okay? And listen, that's what the Bible says. Listen, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not. You know, listen, truth be told, in your youth is where, for the most part, understand different circumstances, and you can't paint everything with the same brush, but for the most part, life's the most easiest for you in your youth, right? Because as you get older, there's more responsibility, and along with responsibility comes the heartache and sorrow and the evil days of life. Enjoy your youth while you have it, and don't waste it, and use it for the glory of God. Amen. So the young man needs knowledge and discretion. The young man should deepen their understanding. The glory of the young man is their strength. Now, for a few moments, let's talk about the old man. All right. Now, that's not my term. That's God's term. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16. Go there. Proverbs chapter 16. We'll look at two verses here. One in Proverbs 16 and one in Proverbs chapter 20. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. Proverbs 16, verse 31. The Bible says, the hoary head or the gray head. Okay, so I guess that's how God's defined it if you're old, all right? If you got some gray hairs, all right? And if you start to have gray hairs, you're starting to get old, all right? No looking with the magnifying glass here, okay? The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. And then Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. Here's the principle. The gray head is supposed to be a sign of wisdom. All right. Now, the reason I say it's supposed to be, because the Bible says it's a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Okay. Just because a person's gray doesn't necessarily mean that they have wisdom. Now, they should have wisdom because they've been down the road a ways. But unfortunately, you know what? Just because you've been down the road a ways doesn't necessarily mean you have wisdom, or maybe you're just filled with worldly wisdom, right? But that being said, the gray head should be a sign of wisdom. David said this in Psalms chapter 71, verse 17 and 18. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and here too have I declared thy wondrous works. Notice this. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You hear what David said? He said, God, you helped me through my youth. You're the one that led me and directed me and guided me. Now, God, now that I'm old and gray-headed, Lord, please don't forsake me, because I got something to teach to the younger generation. By the way, listen, seniors, okay? You ought to impart godly wisdom to the younger generation. Amen? You ought to have patience with them. You ought to understand that they don't know everything. They haven't been down the road as far as you have. And listen, if you're founded in righteousness, there's some things that could be said. And then young people, you need to listen to them. Amen? You need to shut your mouth and listen. Instead of you being the one dominating the conversation, why don't you just go sit at the feet of some of our senior saints and just ask them something. I don't literally mean sit at their feet, all right? But sit with them, all right? It's an expression. Sit with them and just ask them some questions. Learn from them, amen? If you're still blessed to have your grandparents, you ought to have a conversation with them. I remember as a teenager and into my 20s, I had my grandparents there for a while. My grandmother's passed away when I was in high school, but I had my grandfathers for a little bit past that. And I remember sitting down having conversations with them. Both my grandfathers taught me a lot. And you know, sad to say, I probably really didn't even understand the importance of them teaching me things until I got a little older and didn't have that much time left with them. My grandfather, Bo, who you hear me talk about a lot, we spent a lot of time together. I still remember some of the things he taught me. We would deer hunt together, man, all those times we'd be together. And he taught me so much wisdom. My dad's dad, Eric, he taught me a lot. Most of the books in my office are from his library. He was a preacher his whole life. I learned from those men. And listen, if you still have grandparents, learn from them. Amen. And then let me say this. Those of you that are teaching that are older, make sure you're teaching wisdom. Amen. According to the Word of with God. Number two, an old man trained well as a young man has a good chance of finishing well. Let me say that again. An old man trained right as a young man has a good chance of finishing well. What am I talking about here? Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Very powerful verse of scripture here. I think sometimes it gets taken out of context, but let's read what it says here. Notice what it says. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What's this verse telling us here? First of all, it tells the importance of training children. Amen. Not raising kids, training kids. It's what we've talked about a lot as we've gone through the book of Proverbs. But listen, when you train that child up in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. What's that mean? It means this. Listen, that training will never leave him. Now, I'm not saying young people that have been brought up in church always do make the right choices and decisions and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. That training that's inside of them will never leave them. And that being said, young people who are trained right have the best chance of finishing right if they're trained right. Amen. Because they have that teaching in them. And you know, truth be told, sometimes here's what happens. All right. Maybe someone does get off track. But through the reproofs of life, through God bringing chastisement, they always seem to want to come back to what they were taught, or at least know what they were taught. Maybe they may not make a full circle comeback, but they at least know where they should go. By the way, come on now. Hey, where are they going to have to come back to if we forsake what we're supposed to be doing? Now, isn't that sad? That, you know, sometimes I've seen this happen. I've seen parents literally follow their children out the door of the church house. Okay, somebody gets sideways with the preacher about something, and kids get mad and leave. Before you know, the parents follow the kids right back out. Well, what happens if the kids want to get right and come back? What are they going to come back back around to if we follow them right out the door? Listen, you got to stay faithful no matter what. Amen? And then just remember this. God has ultimate number one loyalty in our life. God, loyalty to God above loyalty to anybody else. Okay, and I know sometimes that's difficult if you're dealing with family situations. But remember something, folks. When we stand before Jesus Christ one of these days, your kids aren't going to be there with you. Your spouse isn't going to be there with you. You'll face them on your own. Amen? And so your loyalty to God ought to be number one. But as an older person, you have the best chance of finishing well if you were trained well as a young person. Now, again, God breaks the cycles. Not everybody had the privilege of growing up in church. And God is the cycle breaker. Thank God for that. But that being said, if you have an opportunity to raise your kids right, do it. Don't waste that opportunity to teach them and train them right. You're going to give them the best chance possible at turning out for God and making it long term. Amen. We had time. We go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. And we see that here's was the people's testimony about Samuel as he was getting ready to pass off the scene. And they said, "Thou hast not defrauded us nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken out of any man's hand." Hey, Samuel, remember he was brought up in the temple under Eli. He was taken there as a young child. Hey, he started out right and he finished right. And by the way, so can you. Amen. Number three, quickly. The Bible says this, Proverbs 23, verse 22, "Hearken unto thy father that beget thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Here's the principle. Disrespect should never be shown to older folk. Let me say that again. Disrespect should never be shown to older folk. In fact, here's what God said in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." You know, there used to be a time in America where young people were taught to respect older folks. I'm going to tell you, that's flown right out the door. Amen. You know why? Because young people who weren't taught that now have kids that they're not teaching their kids because they weren't taught when they were kids. And now we have a generation that despises older folk, treats them horrible. Let me tell you, that should never be said of God's people. Amen. And by the way, parents, teach your children how to respect older folks. That's why around here, amen, when we talk to folks that are older, it's either brother or sister or Mr. and Mrs. No young person should ever call an adult by their first name. Never. By the way, parents, that's your job to teach them that. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't teach him that, I hear him, I'll teach him that. Okay? Ain't no young people going to be disrespecting adults in my presence. Okay? You respect adults. And that, and again, I don't think we have a problem with that around here, but we need to show respect. Amen? Listen, we need to treat our seniors with respect. Okay? That means this. We gotta be careful that as we're walking out, okay? And I say this to some of our younger children, hey, don't just rush past our senior folk. You take your time, you wait, you let them do what they need to do, then you do what you need to do. Amen? We show people respect because the Bible says despise. That word despise means to disrespect. Not thy mother when she is old. And I know it's talking about a child-parent relationship, but that principle crosses any relationship with younger people and older people. Amen. Number four, grandchildren are a crown to old men. Listen to this verse, Proverbs 17, verse 6. This is the last one. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Did you hear what it said? Children's children are the crown of old men. Something about grandchildren. Amen. Now, I haven't quite experienced it yet, but Lord willing, I'm about to. Amen. And all I know is from what other grandparents have said, and I remember my mom said, oh, I wish if I would have known grandkids were so awesome, I would have had them first. I'm like, thanks, Mom. Love you too, right? And something about grandkids. I think it's probably something about the fact that just a miracle of it all, and how that your kids who you love so much are now giving you, having kids and giving you grandkids. And all I know is what the Bible says. Amen. That children's children are the crown of old men. Here's the question tonight. Okay. Young people, listen, are you a crown of glory or a crown of grief? Something to think about. A crown of glory or a crown of grief? By the way, again, chase it all throughout the scripture. Man, there's good examples, there's bad examples, all through the scripture of young people who were grief to their parents and grandparents, and then young people who were a glory to their parents and grandparents. By the way, young people, you got choices to make. Amen. I love what Brother John said in 3 John chapter 1, or the only chapter, verse 4. He's talking about, he wrote the epistle to Gaius, a man in the church. And here's what he made the statement of. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And of course, he was talking about his spiritual children. But truth be told, that applies to spiritual and physical children. No greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Amen. And so, young people, listen now. You know, you have no idea. You can't even comprehend how your actions have an effect on your grandparents and your parents. Amen. And for that, your spiritual grandparents, those that love you in the church. Your actions have a big effect on those folks. Amen? So make sure that you're doing what you ought to be doing. All right? So the old man and the young man. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the book of Proverbs. Thank you for the wisdom contained within it, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to have these truths. Lord, help us now to take these things, apply them to our life, and bless us, we pray. Bless our prayer time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. If you can stick around and pray with us.